Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
It's great to see you, and if you're watching online as well, it's good to see you too. Get your Bibles ready because we're going to continue. I've been talking through September about grace for all, about what it means to, if you're in need this morning, right? If you've walked into here this morning and you have something going on in you or around you or with people that you love, I want to say that being in church, I said this a couple of weeks ago, that being in church is the very best place that you can be. And to be found in the people of God, to be found in the family of God, is the best place that you can be. Because that's the way that God has ordained it. God's plan doesn't change with pandemic, post-pandemic, pre-pandemic, whatever pandemic, all right? From the very beginning, what he did was he designed, Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus loves the church. The church is his, we're his bride, it says. And, you know, three people meeting in a pub is not the church. That's three people meeting in the pub, right? Okay? Just like, that's, you know, this guy, oh, just, we're all the church, brother. No, you're not. There's something about the gathering of God's people under worship, under the word, taking communion, breaking bread together, living life together and sharing together. That's, and then on mission to actually share the grace and the love that we've all received with people who don't know it, that's the church. And that's why Jesus did, hasn't changed his mind about what church means. And so I've been talking about that because we all need grace, don't we? I don't know what's going on in your life, but I certainly, when I look at my own life, I go, I could do with a whole lot of grace. I could do with a whole lot of God's unmerited, undeserved favor in my life. You know, anybody? Yeah. And so, but also what I do know is that if I simply stop there, you know, the thing is, the more you focus on something, the bigger it becomes. Isn't that right? The more you give something your attention, the more space it takes up, and that includes you. All right? And so we're going to talk this morning, and one of the things that I think is symptomatic of the world, I mean, I do so, you know, I don't, like I say, live under the stairs here at Exchange, and you're wheeling me out on a Sunday to preach the word. I actually have a life, all right, most of the time. I actually have a life, and I work with, like, real people, you know, like real people. And people go, oh, pastors, you're in a bubble. No, I actually work most of my day with not lovely Christian folk like you, but with actually, like, people who are just doing life, you know, and they're ups and downs and all the rest of it, and working in that kind of space, and which is just that kind of space. It's just called real life, right? It's what we all do when we're not here. And one of the things about pandemic has been, that, interestingly, people's worlds have got smaller. People's worlds have got narrower. We see it in the world of work. There's like big companies like Microsoft and all, and they're doing all this research at the minute and saying, here's a problem. We're spending way more time, it seems like, doing, you know, stuff, but it's all very narrow because our networks have kind of collapsed because they were forced to collapse. And the problem with that is they're describing like an epidemic of loneliness and isolation and all this kind of stuff. And I'm going, isn't it interesting that like people in the world are kind of figuring this one out? They're going, one of the things that has been really interesting about the way the world is changing is we've all gone like that. And much more centered around what we think, what, you know, matters to me, what I want to do. And the gospel, boom, collides with that. And Jesus says, hey, listen, do you know what? I'm in the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a brilliant truth for your life this morning. The same, you know, he's not behind the curve with what's happening in world events. He's not taking on the hop. He sits above it all as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords, as the highest name, as the highest authority, and the one who says, whatever it is, look at me, make me bigger, magnify me, and you will see good days. Amen. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, actually, the thing I love about grace is it says we will see many good days. It says that weeping may come for a night, singular, but, you know, joy comes in the morning and you will see many good days. Pastor Prince preaches a blinder on that one if you want to go listen. And I'm believing for you that you're going to see many good days. But one of the things is, and as we've got back into church, and we're kind of feeling our way with it, let's be honest, right? Who's going to be here? What's it going to be like? And all that kind of stuff. And who's comfortable in a building? Who's not? And it's brilliant to stand here and say, I'm no longer a slave to fear. But you know what? Oh, you know, just be careful in case the virus gets you. Come on. Like, seriously. Anyway, so the point is this morning, I'm going to say, look, I'm just going to show you a very simple story this morning. About the unmerited favor of Jesus for you. So if you're sitting here this morning going, Lord, I'm here because I need something in my life today, you know, that's okay. Okay, that's good. Just sit and receive. But at the same time, listen to the whisper of the Holy Spirit in your life as he comes alongside you today to go, lift your head up a bit more. Lift your head up a bit more. Because there is more to this than just you and your stuff. Don't buy in to the spirit of the age, which is you first, narrower worlds. Because I believe that is one of the biggest, you know, kind of plans that the enemy is using to isolate people, to make them more lonely. And actually, the truth of it is, we all need to have our hearts expanded, don't we? We all need to have our minds expanded. We all need to walk in to this new normal with so much faith in our hearts that our best days are still to come. If you're here this morning, let me tell you something. Right now, think about your life. Think about what's going on. Think about the people in it. And make your decision today in faith to speak over you and your homes that our best days are still to come. We might have been knocked from side to side. We might have had sickness. We might have had disappointment. We might have had lack. We might have had relational dysfunction. We might have had all of that stuff. But today, as a declaration of your faith in the finished work of Jesus, say it over yourself and your family, my best days are still to come. Why? Because every single morning, his grace is new. His favor is new. His mercy is new. His hope is new. And all I need to do is get my eyes off of myself and get them onto who he is, onto what he has done, onto what he has promised and where he is leading me to. And I know that when I can't, he can. Somebody give me an amen this morning. Yeah, your best days, Robert and Tina, are in front of you. Believe it, receive it in Jesus' name. Because there is too much today of us backing down, backing off, becoming self-centered, making our world smaller. And the Lord goes, seriously? Don't reduce the God of heaven above to the size of your fear. He's bigger than it. He's leading you out of it. He's taking you to a place that nobody else can do. It's a place of prosperity and health and wholeness. Somebody give me an amen. Those are not bad words, all right? It's a place of freedom and fullness. Amen? Oh, good. That's good, isn't it? I don't even know where I'm going to. Shall I go back to go back to your notes. Anyway, I think why I'm saying that is because let me get started. In Romans 1:16, Paul, the apostle, in his masterpiece of grace, right? And for those of you, if you're watching online, we are a church that is unashamedly about the grace of Jesus, about Jesus and his work, right? Not what we do for him, but who he is and what he has done for us, all right? And in Romans 1:16, excuse me, wee bit of windy pops there, he says, I am not ashamed. Listen, sorry. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? This is Paul at the start of it. He's going to lay out for people all through time and eternity, right? At the very start of this of the book of Romans, when he's writing to the Roman church, and he says, look, before we get into it all, let me just tell you something. I'm not ashamed of this. I'm not backing down from this. I'm not going to water it down for you. I'm not going to make you feel better by kind of giving you something which is going to tickle your ears and make you feel good. I'm not ashamed of Jesus and his work, he said. Why? It's good news for you. In a world where there is no good news, in a world where we don't know whether we're stuffed or mounted, coming or going, all right, I'm not ashamed of this message, right? Why? Because it's the power of God. It's the inward working power of God in you. God, the God of heaven in you, right, he says, and for everyone. I love this. Grace is for everyone, right? Not for the ones who do better than somebody else, not for the ones who have been down the road longer, for you this morning. It's the power of God with no equivocation, no kind of meted out differently. If you're here this morning under Jesus, the power of God is for you through the grace of the gospel, all right? And so that's why he starts. And you know, like salvation, soteria, I've described that loads of times. But like, this is the true gospel. And so exchange, you know, as we get back into the rhythm of meeting together, you know, and you just don't switch on overnight and get straight back into it. We're going to feel our way into you know, this season and the future. But one thing is just not, we're not going to hang our heads around and kind of wait for some, you know, future time when everything's back to normal. It's not going back to what it was. So we need to adapt, and I love that, because one thing that has not changed is it's the same Jesus today that we were worshiping here in whenever it was, March 19, before things went crazy, all right? And the message and the heart of the gospel has not changed at all, and it will never change, in fact. And so I actually think that the thing that in the external world where there's more pressure, it is such a brilliant time to know the unmerited favor of Jesus in your life. Right? In a world that doesn't know, here's you and me sitting and look at the shape and size and flipping look of us. I mean, honestly, a motley crew, if you could see online what I'm looking at, honest to goodness, you'd go, you must be joking. And Jesus goes, I'm not joking, I chose you. See, from the very beginning of the world, every single one of you this morning, you are chosen by the King. You're chosen to live your best life. You are chosen to live a life that is full. You're chosen to live a life that is protected and safe for you and for your children and for your children's children. Somebody give me an amen this morning. And you know what? You're also chosen from the very beginning of time to do good work and to bear good fruit, not to be under the pump, not to be behind the curve, but to stand as a testimony to the grace and the power and the favor of Jesus, not your work, but His. Amen. He chose you for it. Church, lift up your heads in faith this morning and declare it and say it. I will not live anymore under the influence of darkness. I will not live anymore under the lies of shame and condemnation. I will live no longer under fear. I will live no longer, according to the reports of the BBC News or anybody else, from the doctors. We bless them. But my hope alone is in Jesus and who He is. Amen. That's the gospel. And that's why he all starts. I'm not even doing Romans today, I'm doing Luke 5, but there you go. Holy smokes, Andrew. Right? So what I want you to lift your heads up. I'm getting all excited here. I'm going to preach myself and get saved. Wouldn't it be a mass morning? Remember that morning the pastor got saved? Were you there? Remember? It's like, oh, I remember that. The glory fell. Anyway, turn to Luke chapter 5. Let's read. This is a story about Jesus. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him, there's two things going on here. A word for you and lift up your heads for what you're called for. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out from them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked them to put out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And he took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, from a sinful man, Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and they followed him. You know, so this morning, what I want to do is I want to encourage all you normal people. See, just like me this morning. Like you're dead normal, and that's okay, because one of the things that, you know, sometimes we think that, you know, grace or favor, what that looks like in your life is like what it looks like for the superstars, you know, the massive ministries or, you know, famous or whatever. It's absolutely got nothing to do with that, because the call and purpose of your life will probably never be fulfilled on a stage in front of thousands of people. And you know what? It doesn't have to. I mean, some people are called for that. Brilliant. But that doesn't matter. And some of us this morning need to have a shift, because the saddest thing I think when I think about myself and my own life is to live with this gospel message, this good news message, this message that, you know, no matter what it is, Jesus is stronger and greater, and it's not your work but His, not your performance but His. To live with that potential in us and never see it come out, I think is one of the saddest things that, you know, that I think about at times. You know, so do some heart work today as I quickly go through this. Slow down a little bit and just rest from the daily grind, because I'm not going to share religion, rules, or judgment, because in our church, we want to leave no room for that. Unequivocally, in our church, we don't want to have room for any of that. We just want to have the unvarnished grace of Jesus. I read this quote this week, Robert Capon. Do you want, did I put this on? Let me just read this. What role have I left for religion? We did. None. And I have left none, because the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ leaves none. Christianity is not a religion. It is the announcement of the end of religion. Religion consists of all the things, believing, behaving, worshiping, sacrificing, the human race has ever thought it had to do to get right with God. Everything religion tried and failed to do has been perfectly done once and for all by Jesus in his death and in his resurrection. For Christians, for you and me, therefore, the entire religion shop has been closed, boarded up, and forgotten. The church is not in the religion business. It never has been and it never will be. In spite of all the ecclesiastical turkeys through 2,000 years, I think that sounds like an insult. Read between the lines, he's having a go there. Thousands of years who have acted as if religion was their stock in trade. The church instead is in the gospel proclaiming business. It is not here to bring the world the bad news that God will think kindly about us only after we have gone through certain creedal, liturgical, and ethical wickets. It is here, that means you and me, we are here to bring the world the good news that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. It is here, in short, for no religious purpose at all, only to announce the gospel of free grace. Isn't that awesome? That's why we're here this morning. And so I want you to lift your head up because Jesus is going to, let me just talk about Jesus stepping into your world so you're ready to receive for yourself. Because whenever Jesus comes across these guys, all right, he does something incredible. The context of the story is Jesus is teaching somebody else and he's not teaching the people in the boat. Now, they're not part of what is happening at the very beginning. Now, the fishermen, let me tell you, are professional, experienced men. The work is very physical and it's very demanding, okay? They would have been, like myself, well-chiseled and muscled. You would have looked, I'm going, look at that. There's a fella there. No need for the gym with that lad, obviously. You know what I mean? They would have had calloused hands. They weren't weak. Why are you all laughing? Why is up? You hurt me, cut me deep, Shrek, right? And here we are, and you got these really good, professional, calloused, hard-working, muscular men, all right? And they've had the worst day ever. Anyone know what worst days ever feel like? Oh, heck, yeah, all right? They have been knocking it sideways all day, all night, and they have got nothing to show. They are physically tired. They are emotionally tired. They are frustrated. They're going to go hungry. It's just another day of it for them. They're probably smelly. They're annoyed. They're frustrated. And you know what? The promises of God at this point over their lives might as well have been something a million miles away. Anyone? Yeah. Ever had one of those days where the promises of God might as well have been cuckoo land somewhere else? Right? No? Flip, I have loads of those. Relax, all right? That's the truth sometimes of what the world can be like. Right? And what happens though is Jesus, and this morning, think about what's bothering you and think about where your need is, because what Jesus does, he literally steps into their world. He gets into their boat, right? That's their place of provision. It's their place of protection. It's their place where they, where they are providing. It's where they find their meanings, where they're, he literally steps right into it. The physical boat is just a picture of what their lives are like. And so what happens is we see here is that grace always will take initiative. Jesus is proactive. He's not sitting back from you today. And if you will just open the door of your heart a little, what you will find is he will step right through. He doesn't need, he just says, open up a little bit to me, and I'm going to step right into where you're at. I'm not going to stand off from afar. And see, what he sees is, where you are right now, he sees it, your relationships, your family members. But actually, what's interesting, when he steps into your world, you know what he's more concerned with? Not where you are, but where he is going to lead you to be. That's the deal. He's stepping into your world not to go there. Let's turn it all onto you. He's going to step into your world to provide what you need, but also to go, let me show you where I'm going to lead you. Let me show you what this is part of. Because sometimes whenever we lose the joy of what church and what grace means, it's because actually what we've done is we've made it about us. That's the truth. And self, the thing I would say, if you need some oomph or some joy into your Christian walk, go and share with somebody. Honestly, it's a simple, go and share the gospel. Go, it's not to go, it's not hard. Like, you have to work really hard to make this complicated, right? Break the cycle of self. Grace will enable you to do that. The devil will keep sucking you in, sucking you in, sucking you in until you go, I'm not happy, I'm not happy, I'm not happy. And the Lord says, let me step into your world. Now, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to do, because I love you and that's my promise. But I'm also going to show you that there is so much more. Your best days are in front of you. All right? And so what happens is, it probably seems like madness, doesn't it? Like, makes no sense at all, right? Because, you know, what happens when our backs are against the wall is we tend to hold tight. We grasp at that which we know, don't we? And we kind of go to those places that feel safe to us, and we go, because I'm not really sure whether I can trust God. And these guys are experienced fishermen. They're not amateurs. They knew their business. They knew what they were about. And it's interesting that in the middle of it all, the Lord steps into their world, and the whole thing of the fish is just kind of like, it's just a picture to go, you know, see what you're worrying about. See the stuff that concerns most of us every day. My money, my future, all that. The Lord's almost going, honestly, would you ever chill out? You think fish? Do you think I've got a problem with fish? Honestly. Like, seriously, just so I can show you today that fish ain't a big deal, I'm going to sink your boat with it. How do you like M onions? I kind of think that's what was going on. If I was Jesus, that's what I would be thinking. You know, like, seriously. I made all this. Think about your life today. Have a look around when you drive. He made it all. You think fish are his problem? Not at all. In a moment, he steps into your world and goes, I'll give you everything that you need. I'll provide for everything that you need, but fish aren't the issue. Don't get your fish and go, oh, brilliant, I've got my fish. Brilliant. It'll be fine till what happens? Till I run out of fish, and then I find myself back in the same boat with the same hassles and the same stresses. And so it's actually interesting because Simon Peter's reaction is a wee bit like ours. You know, like Peter's full on, like he's crazy. He goes for it. But I think Peter's got an attitude. Simon Peter's got an attitude in this one. But he says these six key words. Because you say so, Lord, I will. Because you say so, I will. Let down your nets again. Oh, you must be joking. Here's you, hasn't a clue, Mr. Preacher, talking to me about my boat. I've been doing this for years, and I'm flipping good at it. So don't come to me with chuck your nets in. I've been doing it all night. My hands are cut. I'm tired and exhausted, and I'm not really going to listen to you. Actually, what Peter's saying is, I know better than you. That's exactly what he's saying. In a kind of roundabout way, you know, I'm reading more attitude probably into it than what was there. But there's something in him, though, right, that goes, despite how I'm feeling physically tired, despite the fact that I'm emotionally drained and frustrated and annoyed, Lord, when you speak, there's something in him that goes, and remember, he's a basket. Peter will prove himself to be a basket case time and time again. He's far from perfect. He keeps messing it up for Jesus. And you go, yeah, like, seriously? From, like, cutting people and saying he'll do it. I mean, if you can't identify with Simon Peter, any of us, like, seriously, you're reading the wrong book. I see myself all the way through, apart from cutting people's ears and all that stuff off. Oh, I'd like to do that at times. Anyway, right? That's a joke. And what happens is, you know, he says this. In the middle of it all, there's something in him that goes, because you say so, I will. It's a response of faith in him. And do you know what he's doing when he does that? We know what happens, right? The boats nearly sink. But whenever in the middle of your world, you invite Jesus in, okay, by going, Lord, I might be feeling this, same old patterns, right? But I'm gonna say no to my feelings and yes to you. All Peter did was position himself for a miracle. That's all he did. Peter didn't make the fish get into the nets, but he positioned himself to be there for when the Lord blessed. Do you get that? And I think this morning the Lord wants to lift you up, wants to lift your head up and your heart up with hope and with faith this morning to go position yourself for a miracle by saying yes to his grace. Because then his grace will do what he always promised it would. Don't hold on. Don't get selfish. Don't let your world get any smaller. But say, Lord, right now as you step into my boat, right? You know, you step into my world, right? What you're going to see in that moment is that, and I'm believing for supernatural provision for some people. I'm believing for supernatural increase for some people. I'm believing for supernatural breakthrough. Because there's nothing natural about what Jesus did. Nothing natural. Like the experienced people, Jesus is the amateur here. Like he made the fish, made the water, made the world. I get that. But for the purposes of the story, he wasn't a fisherman. So do you understand? All you have to do is open up a little. And what you will find is as you rest in that moment, okay, whatever it is, the fish are just the picture of your nets being filled with whatever you need right in your world. They didn't have to go and drag their nets up to Jesus somewhere else. They didn't have to go across the sea. He came to where they were, and he's coming to you right now. Mm-hmm. Amen? If you're sitting here right now going, Lord, I need that. His grace doesn't make you work for it. In fact, it says the opposite. Take a big breath. Rest. Breathe it out. In with the good, out with the bad. Remember that? Goose Papa. No. Anger Management movie. Reference. Brilliant. Right? I'm forever blowing bubbles. Remember that? If you haven't watched that movie, it's brilliant. Jack Nicholson. Awesome. Goose Papa. It's funny. Anyway, just things are coming to my head, right? So what you have to do then is you just have to breathe it out. Now, let me go very quickly because we're going to be finished very soon. But, you know, it says here, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. But you know what? Jesus doesn't leave it there. You see, some of us this morning are going, put the full stop there and go, amen, thank you, Jesus. My nets are full. The problem with fish is they spoil. They do, you know, that kind of stuff. And you're going to have to go and fish again to get more. So when people receive, the problem is it creates this kind of cycle in our lives, right? And Jesus is going to go, look, let me take care of this for you, but only because I love you and because I don't want you to be tired, frustrated, and your needs unmet. But it's almost like, can we have the real conversation now? Almost that the distraction of this stuff is out of the way. Can we talk about what's really going on? Because what happens here is, in this moment, there's two things working simultaneously. It's beautiful. He's meeting their needs. He's showing them grace and unmerited favor. He's actually supplying more than they can cope with. So they're going, flipping, Nora. Like, they probably didn't say that, but you know what I mean? They're probably going, how on earth do we get this much? Like, and the Lord's going, seriously? Like, you have no idea what I can pour into your life. That's not the issue, but what I need you to see is I need you to lift your head up. Because if they just kept coming back for their boat-breaking miracle, what would happen? They're not growing, not becoming all that they're called to be, not growing in faith and expectation. That's the problem. He's bringing them back to this point where he goes, now, heads up, because wasn't this fun? Can you imagine Jesus, you know, like going, like, isn't that brilliant, guys? Look at them fish. They're massive, big whoppers, right? They're all going, flipping brilliant. And he's going, do you not see, though, that there's something bigger than this? Isn't this fun? Like catching fish like this, isn't it brilliant? Yes, Lord, bless me. Fantastic. But you know what? Forget about that. I'm calling you to be a fisher of men. Whoa, what's that mean? What he's saying is your thinking's too small. You think I created you, put breath in you, and called you from the very beginning of time, the Lord said over every one of you today, that you are called and created with a purpose crafted by God's own hand just to enjoy, coming like with some kind of need every time and just getting it met and coming back in this cycle. He says, no, lift your head up. You're called for so much more. This grace and favor which you can experience when you open your heart to me. Okay, I want you to see that the reason why I've called you, the reason why I put breath in you, is because as you've received, go and, you know, get a bigger vision for what your life's about. Take this blessing and this favor and simply share it. All right? And you see the whole ministry then of the disciples was not going and being, you know, all perfect, but it was simply going, there was a moment in my life when I experienced something which I cannot explain, when it changed me from the inside out, and all the Lord simply asks of you, okay, is go share. Right? I'm not saying get yourself a sandwich board and walk up and down Corn Market. Colin, I think. I see that call on your life. I'm not joking. Right? With a megaphone. Get the tracts out. Bless them, right? That's not what I'm saying. But see the people you're going to bump into tomorrow. Instead of going there, and isn't things terrible, or yeah, well, you know, go back to Paul's words, don't be ashamed of it. Because every time, I know for me, every time I walk away from a moment where I know I could have simply shared some good news, there's something in me dies a little. And the Lord keeps lifting my head up to go, don't worry about that, move on, All right? Don't get concerned and wrapped up in this small stuff because I've called you for way bigger stuff. And when you do the way bigger stuff, all the small stuff will be so normal, so natural. You know, the whole way through the ministry of Jesus and his disciples, he keeps telling them, don't be bringing anything with you. Don't worry about a cloak. Don't worry about a bag. Don't worry about money. Because he settled it at the very beginning to go, everything you need, when your heart is captured by grace and by going, flip me. I am actually called by God to change lives for eternity, and you get that into your heart and you start to move that way. Let me tell you something, you won't have time to worry about your provision and all the rest of it, because you'll walk so blessed, so full, so whole, so healthy, because he promised that whatever you needed, it was already provided for. So lift your head up, don't get selfish, and get out there and share the message of his gospel. And don't be ashamed, all right? If somebody is sick today with cancer, what do they need? Honestly. If somebody's worried about their children today and what they're going to turn into, what do they need? They need more than platitudes. They need more than empty promises. They need Jesus and his favor in their life. Honestly, right? I don't see it any other. That's what all I see in this story in Luke 5 is the Lord saying, oh, look, if like I'm saying this morning, you got a need in there right now. I believe over every one of you, and I believe this, that as you've rested here in the presence of Jesus today, that he is working in every bit of your situation. I keep telling you, Penny and I pray that every morning, every morning in life, don't we? And sometimes I think to myself, God, I'm praying this again. And then I'm reminded that whenever I rest in his finished work, and I let my heart be at ease, and I open my heart to that, that what I cannot do, he is already not doing it. He's already done it. And so my heart rests. And I find myself coming back to that place. And do you know what actually the battle for most of us is? The battle is not provision. The battle is not health. Those things are important. The battle is to keep our heads up and our hearts up in hope and in faith that our best days are still to come. That despite what is coming our way, and how we access that, I believe, is by having a bigger vision for our lives. A bigger vision for our lives. Church, I'm saying to you this morning, if you're finding it tight, if you're getting it tough, all right, what you don't need is more of you. What you need is more of him, right? And more of him and me, let me give it to you. It's amazing the difference that it will make. To say the encouraging word, to speak the moment of truth, to bring the presence of Jesus wherever you go. Let me tell you something. That's what we see in the word here. All right? And we're different. So let's not be ashamed. I'm going to finish up. I literally did not preach what I had prepared, but I hope it's okay. All right? But I kind of felt the Lord speaking on this one this morning. Going, Lord, this morning, in this place, I believe that the word of the Lord is the rhema word of God over you today. Is your best days are in front of you. But your best days in front of you, it's like, are not going to be found with examining your own belly button. That's a really bad image, isn't it? Actually, let me give you a different image, because all of them, you know, just imagine it's all like, all right? It's not going to happen, right? That's the world to tell you that, but it's not going to happen. I think Jesus, when I was reading this, I kind of had this, you know, whenever I'm reading the Bible and preparing and stuff like that, maybe it's the playfulness in me at times, or whether it's the refusal to be, you know, but I kind of look at the way Jesus did this, and I think, you know, wouldn't you have loved to have been around more of the conversation that wasn't actually captured? Does anyone think that? You know, like the wee side comments and the, because I bet you that's not only what Jesus said. Yeah. Do you get me? Yeah. That's why I love the Chosen series, where you start to see some of the, you know, like the, you know, like Jesus having a bit of crack with people. You know what I mean? And he having a wee bit of a jibe and like fun, you know, like fun. God, we've lost the fun, haven't we? So many of us lost the fun. And Jesus, I think in this, it wasn't like, here's the fish. You are fishers of men. Do you know what I mean? Like, kind of po-faced with, like, drum music coming up. Like, imagine the organ, right? Angels, hit it. Swelling, big pads of glory. you shall be fishers of men. You're like Charlton Heston. I bet you that doesn't want to happen. He was probably going, you flipping numpties, look, fish. I'll sink your boats, boys. Do you want me to sink your boats? If he was from Belfast, I'll sink your boats. Now here, let's lift your head up and go, honestly, this is why I came. Ah, flipping Nora. That's why I mean, I think the Lord was so excited. You know, you read it. He wasn't going, oh. Like, do you think they would have dropped everything to go after some po-faced, miserable, I bet you he was playing with him, going, seriously, look up. You're doing this all day. I've got that covered. In spades for you, there's more grace. There's more favor. There's more healing. There's more provision. Somebody give me an amen and say, yes, my best days are still to come. Right? Whatever has gone is done. Whatever is today, I have got grace for it. And whatever is coming for tomorrow, my faith and my hope is in Jesus being more than enough when I get there. Amen? Lift up your heads. So here's what I would encourage you. Lift up your heads. All right? Lift them up. And this week, just go for it. Faith is a response to what he has done. Do you get that? It's a response. So what I'm going to say is, it's probably working out really well for you because you all look great. But do something a wee bit different. Not because you have to get something from him, but because he's done it for you. Break the cycle. Trust the power of God. Because let me just finish by saying this. Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it. Why? Because it's the power of God. For everyone who'll simply do, no, believe. Amen, church. Are you encouraged this morning? Hope online you're encouraged as well. And let me pray as the guys here, worshipers. Let's close your eyes for one moment. We're going to be done in by 12:15 if you're watching online. But let me just pray over you this morning. Father, I thank you that you know every single life in this place. You know the children. You know the grandchildren. You know the aunts and the uncles. You know the friends and the neighbors. Jesus, I thank you that there is not one life this morning outside of your care. I thank you, Father, that this morning, that whatever the need is, I speak it right now over this church in the name of Jesus. I speak fullness for you. I speak hope for you. I speak future for you. And as a declaration of our faith in this church, in the grace of Jesus, I speak over you and I break every lie that says that you're done, you're finished, and you'll never be what it was. Your best days for you and for your family, for your children and for your grandchildren, for those who will come in your line, your best days are still to come. Amen.